flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Here's the snap. Back to pass. Pressure coming from Von Miller, and he's got him wrapped up for a sack. Here's the snap. Fakes the handoff. Roll out. Davis open, and he's into the end zone for the touchdown. Runs out of the pocket to the right. Gets away from Dwayne Carter. Fires back across the field to a wide open Kayshawn Booty, who is going to stroll into the end zone for a 49-yard touchdown reception. Handoff goes to Gibson. He fumbled the football. It's loose on the turf, and the Bills say they have it. It is a takeaway for Buffalo. Javon Solomon. Handoff to Cook. Finds a hole on the left side, and he is in for a 1-yard touchdown run. The Cook is in the kitchen for the 16th time on the ground this season. And with that touchdown run, Cook, the NFL leader in rushing touchdowns coming into the game, has tied O.J. Simpson for the most rushing touchdowns in a season by a Buffalo Bill.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
I'm self-reporting. I know I'm going to call it Victory Monday 1,000 times. I know I'm going to do it. They lost.
You just said Victory Monday, and I thought there's nothing wrong with that.
Right. Can we do that? So they finished.
I think we maybe.
Why not? They finished 13-4, which breaks the streak of 3-6-3-6-3.
All right.
Now we've got a 4-loss season thrown in there. Well, listen, you don't want to go in with a bad taste. No, it's fine. Victory Monday. I feel like we should just do it. Feels like they won. Denver is the opponent. That's who a lot of people would have preferred.
Yep.
So, here we are.
And New England didn't get the first overall pick, which is a nice little side prize, too.
It is funny. It's hilarious. Very, very funny. Not just didn't get the one, but dropped to 4.
Right.
Have a good time with that. It is Football Monday. Victory Monday, kind of. But Football Monday is brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe, happy Monday. Also, happy return to a normal kind of week, right? The last 2 weeks have been Christmas, New Year's, a day off here, a day off there, working strange hours.
Middle of the week, too.
Yeah, all the weird stuff, and now you're just, maybe like a lot of us, like we are, back to productivity. You know what day it is again.
Yeah.
It's just Monday. You know, the week should just play out. And the Bills play a Sunday 1 o'clock
game. I was going to say, the NFL kind of helped that along, too, by making it 1 o'clock on Sunday.
No Saturday, no Monday, just Sunday 1 o'clock. It feels like everybody in town is going to get an opportunity to know what day it is again. So,
yeah,
we've got that going for us, which is nice.
Yeah. Back into a routine. My fantasy routine is going to be done, too, so we're going to have to find something else to fill that time. But we like Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Sure. I think we like Denver.
Even though it's
right?
playoffs, we like Denver, so whatever. Give it to us wherever you want. I realized yesterday, as we were trying to figure out, some of us, like, when's the game going to be? Like, oh, Saturday night kind of feels right for this, but then, like, Pittsburgh and Baltimore just felt, you know, they played last Saturday. Why not? Why give them 8 days of rest and the Bills and another team 6 when they're sitting right there with 7? And it just kind of fits like a glove. So, you know, Sunday at 1 o'clock felt right, even though The Sunday night game, I wouldn't say is a bigger draw than the Bills game. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but just Commanders-Bucks felt like a weird Sunday night selection.
I agree. I mean, I'm not so sure, you know, they're all standalone windows, and I'm not so sure, you know, how much we should take from it, but I thought I think Commanders-Bucks is, I don't know about like the lowest draw of the week, but it's close.
Is it only the low draw? I look at the logos. I just imagine what the game looks like in my head, and like, I feel like it's not a big game because it maybe the colors even. Just like, I don't know.
The game itself could look good. I mean, the offenses can both hum.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield in that spot. I mean, the Bucs were, you know, shaky yesterday. Maybe that's what it is that neither of those two teams is viewed as can win the whole thing.
Yeah, and there's only, two of those this week?
Yeah.
Two games where, like, there's no way one of those two teams is doing it?
What's the other one?
Texans Chargers.
Mm.
Come on.
Listen.
The Chargers, they look fine. They look fine. But
I mean, I'm not exactly predicting the Chargers have a chance to win the Super Bowl, but... You know,
you got them as a better chance to win than the Commanders do?
I wouldn't even... Yeah, for sure, for sure. The Chargers should beat the Texans. And not only is it about the Bills and the Broncos being the matchup, but, you know, now we can see the path, and the path could include the Chargers beating the Texans, and then they are likely to go to Kansas City.
Mm.
You know, we saw what Baltimore had to offer against Pittsburgh, and, you know, the Steelers look like they're just as dead as anybody. They've lost four in a row. At least they were close in their last loss, but... You know, you got Bills, Broncos, and then you've got the path in front of you. So, what do we think? 803-0550. What do you think of the path? It's likely, you know, Bills and then or Broncos and then Ravens and then Chiefs. That's the likely one. There's scenarios where the Chargers are coming here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a scenario
or the
where
the Texans, but that's
yep, that's yeah. right. It's possible if Pittsburgh were to win. Pittsburgh's the only team that can't play in the second round. So.
Correct. Right.
Yep. Because if Pittsburgh wins, they would go to Kansas City. It's the only team they can't play.
But they can do the Bills a service by, I mean, if the Bills are going into the Sunday 1 o'clock game, and we've known that the night before Pittsburgh pulled off the upset and beat the Ravens, who they do often beat.
Yep.
I mean, suddenly you're going to feel like your path is very easy. Maybe.
Well, if you're someone that's been afraid of the Ravens, yes. Mm-hmm. You're gonna take that. Take it. You probably don't like Pittsburgh's chances to beat Kansas City.
Yeah.
Like, part of this is, who's gonna knock off the teams in my way? And Pittsburgh has a crack at Baltimore, and if they don't, well, then you've got Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And for the Chiefs, you know, could be any one of these teams. The only team they won't play is Baltimore until the AFC Championship game. Same with the Bills.
And the Bills go last in the AFC, so, like, we'll know what... But Sunday morning when we're doing pregame, we will know what a win... Like, we'll know who they'll play.
Yep.
With a win. Which is maybe, is that a coincidence too? They went AFC, 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 NFC, NFC, NFC in the scheduling?
Might be.
But it worked out that way. I'm very happy that it's Denver. I think there's a better scenario. There could have been a better scenario that wouldn't have played out, which is that Miami, like as the morning progressed yesterday, and there are these reports like, oh, Tua's hips really screwed up. Like, he's got a tear somewhere, and he's one hit away from, like, a severe injury. Then, to me, it became, oh, I'm not going to see Tua in the playoffs. I would bet against it. So, I went into the day hoping for Miami to be the opponent. But, you know, they started slow, and Denver started hot. Like, what were we, 10 minutes into those two football games when it's like, okay, yeah, this is going to be the Broncos.
Yep. If you're a Bengals,
and I'm good with that because it wasn't the Bengals.
Imagine
it wasn't the Bengals.
You're a Bengals fan and you have friends over. You're thinking like, all right, let's do it. We're on the Carson Wentz train. 10 minutes later, like, all right, we can
it's
go
like 21-0.
Everybody can go home. This thing is over. You know, of the three opponents during the week, there was a little bit of. I heard a few people tell me. I'm not sure if you were one of them, but somebody, you know, I want no part of Miami. No part of Miami. Cincinnati was a scary team for obvious reasons. Miami is there because eventually they're going to get through. The Bills at one point just win a game if it's no matter what, like a stupid win. Denver to me is legit. I think this is the tough. Here's part of how I'll ask this: is this the best team they will face in this round of the last 5 years? Because it's either this Broncos team or it's the perfect game Patriots who competed with the Bills for the division. That's a Mac Jones quarterback. That's a young rookie quarterback, right? That's Bo Nix. So it's another rookie quarterback in the wild card round, the super wild card, whatever you want to call this round. I think Denver is legit. Their defense is elite at certain things. The number one thing Denver does is Patrick Surtain locks down whoever he is covering. Yeah. Now, the good news is the Bills
are not reliant on one.
Sure, no shade here, but they don't really have one guy that if you take him out of the game, you're in trouble. You know, they have depth. They have the ability to beat you in multiple ways, throw it to tight ends and running backs and, you know, spread the ball around. So if you're the Broncos and you are taking Patrick Surtain and putting him on whoever, I feel like the Bills win that matchup because, okay, that's a good trade for us, you know?
It's almost like we're going to take Surtain away from you.
Yes, by giving you a receiver that, I mean, I'm not trying to insult the Bills receivers here, but if Patrick Surtain's on Amari Cooper, who's a really nice player, of course, but that's not a bad trade for the Bills, I don't think. Cooper can be important. That's what you're doing. You're getting which receiver can take Surtain's attention.
Well,
and then probably going elsewhere.
And the good news is, like, if you told me going into the week, like, oh, the Broncos are going to line him up on Shakir all day and, like, take him away. You can't even really do that, though, right? Because Shakir's stuff is so short sometimes. Like, there's no coverage, really. It's more like you're just trying to tackle him because he's going to get the ball at the line. The Bills' number one target is a slot receiver. So, like, there's Surtain's not going in there, I don't think. And if he does, again, like, the type of routes he runs, it just wouldn't be the same thing. So, like, he is their top corner. He's the top corner in football this year. And, like, I don't have to worry about him taking away the Bills' number one weapon because their number one weapon doesn't line up against him. So, at least that's how I would imagine that it's going to happen. So, like, I think they are, on paper, they're probably the best team going into the playoffs. Although, how different are they than what we would have thought of New England before the perfect game? Afterwards, like, okay, yeah, that's a joke. Mac Jones is a backup quarterback at the end of the day. But that was a team with a great defense and a rookie quarterback with a middling offense. Like, maybe it's similar to what we thought of New England going into that week. I don't know that with New England, I'd have to think back, look at numbers. Like, was that New England defense as good as this Denver defense? Because this Denver defense is elite.
Yeah, I don't know about that New England defense. I know that they lost games along the way. They lost a game to the Colts, which is what put the division back in play for the Bills to take it from them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other thing. We watched the Bills play that team 2 weeks before and beat them 38-9.
Right.
So there's an expectation of, like, okay, this team is respectable, but the Bills just played this team and didn't punt. Denver is much more of an unknown as we go into this game. We haven't seen this matchup. We haven't seen the Bills play the Broncos or a Sean Payton team or a Bo Nix team, right? There's a lot of variables. When's the last time the Bills played Sean Payton? Who's got that one?
Was he still their coach when they played in that forgettable Thanksgiving game?
The Saints?
Yeah. With who started a quarterback? Simeon?
Trevor Siemian sounds right,
is,
yes.
Is Peyton still the coach, though?
I don't know. I don't think so.
You don't think he's still there?
No, I don't think so. I'll double-check that. So,
by the way, that perfect game, they beat right before they beat New England 33-21. That was a closer game.
Okay.
You're thinking one of the other games they smoked New England,
yes,
which wouldn't have been the year before.
But I think 33-21, sorry, now that you...
Yeah, but still.
That's a quibble over which Patriots blowout it was.
Yeah.
That's one where the Bills scored at will, and New England could never get it with the ball within a score.
Yes.
So, sure, you handled them. And we knew a little bit about that. Peyton was done in New Orleans in 2021. That's his final season. Is that the Trey White tears his ACL in New Orleans?
That's the year.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was the last time?
So the Bills last year was the last time. The game here.
Oh, Denver. Duh. He was the coach of the Denver Broncos last year.
They played the Broncos last year.
I blocked that out of my mind. And it's before
he almost feels like it's his first year to me because I just omitted that he did coach Russell Wilson
for
a year.
That's right. He did. And that went okay. Russell Wilson was okay last year, and they did beat the Bills.
He was fine. I mean, Bo Nix, I mean, it was... Do I want to take anything from yesterday? I would take this season away. And in the season, Bo Nix was pretty good. He was pretty good. He runs around. He was maybe not as good as 26 of 29 for 321 and 4 touchdowns, and he's lateraling the ball.
Yeah, that might have been a little inflating.
Yeah, so he looked amazing yesterday. But he is good. Like, he is... I would say that he is there. He's the best quarterback they'll play in the wild card round.
Mac Jones, Skylar Thompson, Mason Rudolph,
and the last game of Philip Rivers' career.
Yeah,
it's a little. I would want to maybe give him a slight edge because he is, you know, he's mobile. Like
yes,
he's
very.
He was clocked at like 19. Was he 19 miles an hour when he threw that lateral to Williams yesterday in that game? Like, he will run around. He will extend plays. He doesn't chuck the ball deep very often, but that throw from a couple weeks ago is stuck in my mind. Like how far he can throw it if there is a guy open. I don't think I should have to worry about that with the Bills, but yeah, like they have an elite defense and they have a quarterback that is at least interesting.
Yes.
So therefore, yeah, it's a threat.
And they have speed. That's one thing they have. They have speed. Cortland Sutton is their number one. The rest of the receivers, Devon Vaile, but Marvin Mims.
They have like Sutton, who's not that fast. No, he's more of just a good receiver. And Mims everybody is. Else after is.
Everybody's fast after that.
Yeah.
And Mims is kind of growing in his role in this Denver offense and how much he's getting the ball. He hit for two touchdowns yesterday. He hit for two touchdowns the week before. So it's not just in the garbage time games against the Chiefs. He's been someone that's coming on for them. So, you know, there you go. Can the Broncos stop the Bills? Can the Bills stop the Broncos? Can they avoid what would be calamity if they lose? That's the thing about
sure.
Now we get to a spot where you can't afford to have a bad day. Now it's the real season, or the one that will shape everything we talk about for them for 4 months afterwards. You know, if they lose a game where the offense goes in the tank, well, guess what? We're talking about it for 4 months. If we watch them lose a game where they don't get a single stop on defense, well, guess what? Like, McDermott is going to be in the crosshairs again. So, whatever. Or they win the Super Bowl. Like, we'll find out.
Or they win the Super Bowl.
But 14 teams remain, and the Bills have as good a shot as anybody. Time to put together your best football. Allen yesterday getting one snap and walking off the field. Job well done. It's pretty much exactly how they should have handled it. If you're going to give them a snap,
yep.
One snap.
Yeah.
So the start streak is intact.
Once I saw Cedric Van Pran Granger, I thought, oh yeah, he's not playing the whole drive.
Yeah.
This is gonna be one. This is gonna be one and out, right? Like they're not standing him back there on that drive. Were you surprised they got James Cook back in there for the rushing touchdown?
I was very surprised how much James Cook played.
He played a lot early, right? Then he was gone for a quarter and a half, two quarters even, and they got down to the one, and I was wondering, like, he's one away. You know, it's not that unreasonable to throw him out there for 1 yard, but I'm like, does he even have his equipment on anymore? You know, like preseason games where like once you're out, like they'll take the shoulder pads off and what, like, does he even have that on still? But they put him back out there. But he did not get that second touchdown, but he still tied the record.
Yeah.
Yesterday was a lot about incentives.
The entire league and all of the networks decided it was totally okay that the main storyline of the week was going to be about players earning incentives.
Yeah, incentive day.
If you watched a game, every catch, every punt, every pass defended.
The broadcasters definitely had the list, too, because Von Miller gets that first sack. It's like, oh, there it is. I'm like, what did he get? Oh, he had a five sack incentive or whatever he had.
Yeah. Listen. It's fine.
Is that just a reaction to there weren't that many meaningful games, so we got to talk about something?
Listen, I cheered
when
Jamarcus Ingram kept that Sam Martin punt inside the 20. I cheered for Sam Martin knowing that was worth like $100,000. You know, does Von need a million?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Sam Martin get 100K?
Mac Hollins got like a 50 grand one for receptions, maybe.
Listen, I
didn't know that one, but I saw him get up and do the money celebration. I'm like, oh, you just got something.
Whatever he was doing, I didn't know what that celebration was.
I think he was trying to do the like money celebration. I don't know that he really did it accurately, but it was close enough to where I thought I could tell that's what he was trying to go for.
We'll have to ask Sal.
I think it was the money celebration.
He doesn't strike me as someone that would do the money celebration.
No?
No.
He doesn't?
No.
Why?
Because he's very different than everybody else. They score a touchdown and he walks in the end zone and does a toy soldier routine when he doesn't have the ball. Like, he's different. So, maybe it was. The whole incentive thing, I did not tweet it out. Here's a tweet I didn't send because I didn't want people to yell at me about it. But it is funny how weeks 1 through 17, what's the story? Listen. Every one of these guys is selfless. It's me. No way. It's a brotherhood, man. It's we over me. These guys, my guys would play for free. These guys are the best. Everybody about the team. Week 18. Yo, I hope that guy gets $1.5 million for a meaningless sack. Like, Everybody just flipped immediately from, no, nobody on this team, everybody eats, nobody cares about money. Wait a minute, let's make sure Mac gets two catches for 500K or whatever.
Yeah.
It's fine. I don't think there's any problem with it. It is.
No, it's like the Bills will, I mean, they deserve credit, and I'm sure league-wide it's like a... You know, I'm not sure it's like the reason why they would sign certain people, but they would get a little bit of a, you know, a mark in their favor for, I think, allowing players and even working to get them that. The Cowboys were getting criticized yesterday because Cooper Rush was like, he needed to be at 55% of snaps to earn like a big bonus
yep.
on the year, and maybe he was like 5% short of whatever he needed, and the Cowboys sat him. So, you know.
I think there's fewer teams that actually did that. Most teams would probably, most coaches would just
That's probably right.
play it right. And if you don't do it, then you're something's wrong.
Yeah, he was at 52, Cooper Rush thing, he was at 52.5. And if he was at 55% of snaps, he would get an extra $500,000, and the Cowboys didn't play him a single snap.
Yeah. Well, that's tough.
You're probably right, though. Most teams are doing the opposite.
Yeah, I think it's a story.
The Bills are one of like maybe 27 that are working to get their players.
It's
stuff.
A story if you don't do it right. And the Bills in years past, I mean, they sat Tyrod for injury guarantee. I mean, that's right. We don't want a guy to get hurt because then we'll be on the hook for money for an injured player. So mm-hmm. you know, some teams in different spots get to, you know, financial decisions along the way, but the Bills. Lose. Almost said they win. The Bills lose, the Patriots win, and then they fire Gerard Mayo. So right now...
Before he left the building, probably, right. too, right?
Very soon after they fought.
It was an hour after.
Yeah. Adam Schefter tweeted before the game, he was leaning out that Mayo would be fired.
Yeah.
And then they win the game, and they fire Mayo. I don't think they fired Gerard Mayo for winning the game, because that would be the height of stupidity. If you're going to fire the coach, you should just do it beforehand and tell the interim coach to lose the game or whatever you want. But Mayo did not do a good job this year. He multiple times, I mean, I know it's a one and done and he's the heir apparent to Bill Belichick, but they won four games. They had a promising young player at quarterback that they left out to dry. He was the best quarterback in training camp for them, and then they didn't start him
mm-hmm.
and waited and eventually put him in, and he gave him a little bit of a spark. He was terrible on fourth downs. His messaging to his own team, he had to clarify multiple times. He stepped in it multiple times, called his team soft, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bill Belichick called out Gerard Mayo during the season, mm-hmm. saying those players aren't soft. So I think it went poorly for him. And, you know, there are plenty of people to say 1 year's not enough. But there's a lot there with Mayo that, I don't know, it feels like it indicated it did not go very well.
Well, and isn't the, like, 1 year's not enough? Maybe they would have kept going if, don't we think they think they're getting Vrabel?
Probably. They probably
don't they
think
move
they
on him
Vrabel.
Because they want Vrabel?
Well, I saw, maybe Jason Lockenfora, maybe Peter Schrager, listing Vrabel's list of things he wants, and that would line up for the Patriots. One of them is a quarterback. One of them is a clear line of command and open communication, good ownership, blah, blah, blah. Like it was the kind of thing that did not line up for a Jets job, because he interviewed for that,
right.
But does line up for a Patriots job.
Okay.
So there you go. It is Football Monday, Buffalo Bills Football Monday, Playoff Football Monday. Bills and Broncos, Sunday, 1 o'clock. Give us a ring. What do you think? You feeling good? A little nervous? How do the Broncos hit you as a first-round opponent? Because here we go. Also, if you see a Bengals fan, congratulate them on being the best team to not make the playoffs. I mean, there's a lot of championships won by Bengals fans in a playoff that they didn't make. So, there you go. They lost 8 games. That'll happen. 803-0550 is our phone number, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe here on Buffalo Bills Football Monday.
Here's the snap, fakes the handoff, roll out. Davis open, and he's into the end zone for the touchdown. Mitch Trubisky with his second passing touchdown of the season. It goes to the rookie Davis.
One of the highlights of the game brought to you by Northland Workforce Training Center. Train for what's next. Chris Brown on the call. The Bills really did not go to the wall trying to get that touchdown record, right? They got in the red zone, they got in close, and we did not see throws to tackles or anything like that. And Gilliam got a handoff.
I think they prioritized Cook.
Yes.
The first time they got in close, it was Cook twice. And then, only then they did the, all right, let's just get in here, Ray Davis, right? And then the next time they were down there was Cook again. So they, isn't that's probably how it should be, right? What's a better record to most players that caught a touchdown in a season, or your running back can tie the all-time franchise record?
I mean, both are pretty good. The thing about,
like, to me, the second record is something that most people actually keep track of. You know,
the other thing is they had already tied the record of most players that catch a touchdown, and they tied,
which they already owned.
Yeah, they tied their own record, which, I mean, there's something to say there about Josh Allen being a part of that twice. So, yeah, I guess you go for the one that sets a franchise record. So Cook, he got carries. Gilliam got carries, but
right.
I mean, every time they would snap the ball for a pass in the red zone or close to the end zone, I would look at the personnel and think, where's the ball going to? And it might have been so counterintuitive to the way they run offense because, you know, Joe, the whole idea is nobody knows where the ball is going to go. They spread it around. And I wonder if New England had pre-scouted, and if Reggie Gilliam is out there in a passing play, they're thinking that it's going to Gilliam. That's who this is 100% going to because they want this record. So.
Yeah. Well, they might have, because every time Cook was in there, it felt like they knew, oh, they're running it here.
Yeah.
And they were lined up and ready for it.
Get you some of the Skyworks stats of the game. The number one stat for me is about New England and what they lost. Skyworks stats of the game brought to you by Skyworks Equipment Rental, building America from the ground up. I mean, Joe Milton played pretty well, right?
Yeah.
He was okay.
He had an insane touchdown that did not stand.
He was pretty good, though.
Yep.
So
he's big, fast. He would scramble. His arm is huge. Like, he just looked good.
But the story for New England is what they gave up, which is the first pick. And the Tennessee Titans have the first overall pick. Mm-hmm. New England on the draft value chart is my favorite way to do it. You know, depending on which chart you want, the drop from 1 to 4 is equal to about the 12th overall pick in the draft. So when it comes to draft capital, by beating the Bills, the Patriots gave up about the 12th pick of the draft in capital.
By winning that game.
Job well done. What's it going to take for the broadcast to actually treat it like that matters?
Didn't they do more of that yesterday than you're used to?
Yes, but nobody can take it seriously. It's always wink, wink. Oh-ho, Pats fans are getting nervous. Just right. Where's the analyst to call them out and say, this is a mistake? They should not do this.
Right.
Where's that guy? I want somebody in the booth to do that, not just, ha ha ha. Oh, yeah. They're watching the scoreboard in Tennessee.
Yeah. Well, once the game begins, what are the Patriots supposed to do once the game begins?
Whatever it takes.
But who is doing whatever? Like Mitchell Schwartz? Somebody had a good take on this yesterday. They're like, tanking is hard in the league. They make it hard maybe because, like, Jerod Mayo, he might know he's getting fired going into that game. And how do you get him to be on board and get you that pick? How do you get him to not go all out and not win that football game? Because if he thinks he's getting fired, then he's not doing anything you say. He's not going to do anything overt to lose the game outright because you know the players aren't going to do it. So you've got to get it somewhat into the coaching staff. And if the coaching staff is about to be out, then good luck. Like, they're not listening to you. So, like, to me, like, honestly, the only way, if you're an owner or a GM and you want to lose that game yesterday and it's going the way it's going, like, you have to have Mayo believe that he's sticking around. That's the only way. That's the only way you could have it done. Or you even, like, you have to threaten him. Like, hey, if you win this game, you're out. Like, that's the only way you can do it.
No, there's lots of ways to do it. You could of course fire him and have somebody else do it. You could also sign a quarterback off the street instead of playing a third string quarterback that wants to go out there and whatever, has athleticism. I mean,
but isn't that what they probably thought? Like, practice squad quarterback goes in, he's not going to be that good, right? Maybe not. They watch him in practice. Maybe they did think it would be good. But like,
it's about the athleticism.
They you got did a guy bench that can, Drake
you,
May.
You got a you got well right, but you've got a guy that can extend plays.
Yeah,
that's a problem. You need a statue. Everyone should have an you got an emergency third string quarterback. You need an emergency statue game loser in a situation like that. Mm-hmm. I need a specialist. I need Tim Boyle. Where's Tim Boyle?
Tim Boyle would be good.
You should have traded for Will Levis. Mm-hmm. Somebody just give the ball away a bunch of times.
All I'm saying is, like, you for your coach to be on board with that, it can't be the setup that Mayo had yesterday. Like, you could have Tim Boyle in your roster, and with what the news from before the game too, right? Like, Jay Glazer, whoever was reporting, or no, it was Schefter, was saying, like, he's out. Like, to me, you can have whoever you want in that roster. Jerod Mayo, if Jerod Mayo is your coach in that game, he's not putting that guy in. Maybe if you put an assistant in there and tell him, hey, the only way you're sticking around here is if you do this for us.
Yeah.
But you have to do that. You have to offer a coach something, I think, to have that happen. It's why Stephen Ross offered a coach $100,000 to lose games. You have to give the coach an incentive to go against everything he probably stands for.
803-0550. Bill Simmons tweeted about the Patriots, and his line on this was that the 2024 Pats were so poorly run and so consistently incompetent, they somehow got out-tanked by a team that's 13-3, suggesting the Bills did a better job playing to lose than the Patriots did. I mean, they go to Mike White. The Bills go to Mike White.
Yeah.
As soon as Mike White goes in the game, due respect to Mike White, I thought, boy, if you're New England, you're in big trouble now.
Also, McDermott punting from the 35-yard line. I know it was Sam Martin incentive base, but win-win because they gave up almost 3% win probability by punting from the 35-yard line. McDermott, too, in postgame, like, that was outside of Bass's range. 53 yards? Okay.
That's funny.
It's amazing.
That is funny.
I loved it.
803-0550. It's Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Not a victory Monday, but whatever. It's an off to the playoffs Monday.
It is a victory New England not getting that pick. Like, right. I know they, it's not like franchise quarterback was on the line, whatever, but they are, if they can build around May, they're alive to compete with the Bills in the division or be better suited than New England or than the Jets or the Dolphins. So I don't want them having any extra opportunity to build around that quarterback, and they lost a lot of opportunity to do that yesterday.
I have a Twitter poll up. Do you think the Broncos are the best first-round opponent to come to Buffalo in the last 5 years? Yes or no, Indy, no, Miami, and no, New England. I did not include Pittsburgh in this poll, just on principle, the Mason Rudolph principle.
Mm-hmm.
So you can vote.
They really have not played many good teams. Many good quarterbacks. Circumstances, right, have played into that, injuries and whatnot. Yeah, I think it's going to be tough to argue against the Broncos for this when you also know the results of the games before.
Right.
But even beyond that, I think looking on paper, I think they probably DVOA on the season. Denver, like, no question, elite defense, right? Second best rush defense, fifth best pass defense. Offensive DVOA, they're 18th in the league this year. So, okay, middle of the pack offense,
yeah,
roughly. They have one really good receiver, and as you mentioned, they have some speed after that, and Mims is a nice role player.
They don't run the ball exceedingly well.
That's the thing. They are not a good run team at all. They want to dump it off short. So from a Bills defensive perspective, they are a defense that's shown some holes recently, but I don't really think Denver has the personnel to really exploit that. Like, what's their two worst games where they give up a ton of yardage? Who are they playing against? Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp making insane plays, and then you got, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown breaking off a 70-yard touchdown. Like, I like Cortland Sutton, but just Cortland Sutton is going to do that to me? Marvin Mims is going to get one over the top? They don't let plays over the top. Like, I like the matchup. Even though I think both can be true. You can like the matchup, and I think also realize that this probably is their biggest threat they've had in the wild card.
803-0550. How much of a threat is Pittsburgh to Baltimore and Houston hosting the Chargers?
They're limping into the playoffs right now.
One thing on last night's game. If you did not stay up and watch last night's game, you did. Here's my review of last night's game, and let me know if you agree. The Vikings deserved a better outcome than 31-9.
100%.
The story of that game is going to be about Darnold missing a bunch of throws, which he did. He was dreadful in the red zone. And
were they 0-for-5 in the red zone?
They went for a couple they didn't get. They settled for field goals. There's two stories of that game. I know it looks like a 31-9 Detroit win, but that's a game where Detroit got to 31 because Minnesota just couldn't do anything in the red zone. The Vikings defense held the Lions in check as long as they could, and they held them in check for a while.
Mm-hmm. You know,
so it turned sideways. The score kind of got sideways late. But halfway through that game, my thought is, this is a story about the Vikings defense. And if Darnold got hot, I think they could beat anybody. They could have won that game. He missed open players in the end zone. He missed Jefferson a couple times. So the Vikings lost their second time losing to the Lions. They lost three games on the season. Mm-hmm. I thought they deserved better. And 31-9 makes it look like they were not competitive, and it was a very competitive game.
I do too. They had a run, the Vikings did, of, was it four drives in a row where this was the result. They got down, and how many points they got? They got down to the 3-yard line, no points. They got down to then the 7-yard line, 3 points. Then they got down to the 13-yard line, 3 points, got to the 2-yard line, 0 points.
Right. They deserved better.
That was four drives in a row where they got to within the 13-yard line,
and nine
all
points.
Four. And they came away with 6 points.
6 points. Yep.
They did. Well, did they deserve better? Because, like you mentioned, there were plays to be had there that would have punched it in. And Darnold, that's I like them a lot. That is the argument against them.
Against Darnold, yeah.
It's Darnold is going to have one of those on a four-game run. He is not going to give you four straight playoff games
and
without a game like that.
And the other thing about Darnold, I think, that jumps out, he's had a great year. Watching any quarterback that cannot create in the pocket and evade pass rushers when you live life watching Josh Allen, it is just such a difference. Darnold, Burrow, no matter how good you are. Oh, I'm sorry. You don't throw defensive tackles to the ground, leap over a guy, and then wing it 40 yards to, you know, a spot. Nobody does it like Allen, of course. So that's another problem for Darnold and problem for Minnesota. 803-0550, our phone number. We'll see who else gets fired today, right?
Yeah. NFL
coaches get fired today.
Monday, right?
Give us a ring. We have wide open phone lines. Come on, Bills fans. It's the playoffs. We know the matchup. Bills Broncos. Give us a ring. Sal's going to join us top of the hour. Jeremy and Joe, open phone line for you here on WGR on Victory, kind of, Monday.
It's a fine line, right? A delicate balance. You want to know, right? You want to be aware, and it's hard because you're trying to put the health of the player and the team first. And so, but you're this close to a milestone, and in this case with James or some of the other guys as well.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott talking about playing players for incentives, playing bonuses, playing milestones, franchise history, all that. That slice of audio brought to you by Picasso's Pizza, your game day tailgating headquarters. Sound from the locker room. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. It is Buffalo Bills football Monday and a bit of a victory Monday, playoff Monday. Let's do Eye on the Quarterback, brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Our business is protecting your business. Does PFF have a grade on Josh Allen from yesterday? I'd like to see it.
That's a good question.
Give me a grade.
He really called that run play really.
Listen,
professionally,
I thought it was technically sound.
Yep,
the high five on the way off the field was well delivered.
You know, you got to give him bonus points for doing with a backup center.
Yes,
also.
Right. That's right.
Took the snap cleanly.
Developing some chemistry there. That's key.
Mm-hmm. I am the quarterback. We do not have any sort of backup quarterback controversy after yesterday, for now or the future. I
no.
don't think. Because Trubisky looked pretty good.
Yeah, he was fine.
And then Mike White was not very good.
No.
There. End of quarterback and controversy.
End of eye on the quarterback.
Joe Milton was good. He looked really good to me. May played a drive. I guess maybe that was always going to be the plan for them, that he was going to play just a drive and they would get the other guy in.
Yep.
Yeah.
What else happened in this game? We're getting Nance and Romo for Bills Broncos.
Uh-huh. New England fans booing loudly at the end of the game.
Yep, good. Love it.
That's kind of it, right? Like, there wasn't a very eventful game otherwise.
If it's going to be Vrabel, how do we feel about that, Vrabel?
Better than if it would be Joe Brady.
Okay. Ben Johnson.
Better than if it would be Ben Johnson. I don't want them getting Ben Johnson. I would like them to not get a quarterback whisperer, but I respect Vrabel enough to think Vrabel and Drake May, like, all right, I got my eye on you because that's the start of something that I might have to pay attention to.
Yeah. I tend to agree. I think Vrabel is, whatever, credibility. And the Patriots kind of need a little bit of that right now. So, credibility. I think they lost it back when Belichick was the coach. And, you know, here's Joe Judge or Matt Patricia's offensive coordinators. And their roster is in such a way that, yeah. I mean, I think Vrabel would be a nice get for them if that's ultimately what they do. Sal Capaccio, when we get back, we can talk about the players that didn't play. He's just posted a list of players that did dress and were active but did not play a snap. Shakir, Milano, McGovern, Edwards, Spencer Brown, Kincaid, and Knox did not play a single snap in this game. So the Bills rested as many people as they possibly could. We'll break it down with Sal. The injury report that looks fairly clean, we'll get it anyway. All coming up, it is Buffalo Bills Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.